morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios for today's drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, joined in studio here over the next hour by TUSD Superintendent Dr. Gabe Trujillo and Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie. We'll talk about the largest budget being proposed in Pima County history with the supervisor. What do we know about stimulus dollars? How much are we getting? Early childhood education and differential water rates will keep the supervisor busy while he is here. But first, Dr. Gabe Trujillo is on the line. Students are returning now that schools are open. Children can get vaccines now. How are masks being managed? And what does the fall semester look like? We'll also keep Dr. Trujillo busy this first half of the hour. Dr. Trujillo, good morning to you. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, Zach. It's great to be back on the program again. Hope you enjoyed a Mother's Day weekend.
I did, and I'll ditto that for all of our listeners. I did. I hope our listeners did. Hope you did, Dr. Trujillo. Let's get into it. We've got a little bit of a shorter conversation than usual. Not a trend, I promise. We usually have you on for an hour, but budget hearings are playing games with our usual scheduling here in Pima County. But Dr. Trujillo, there was some news that now that schools are open, students are returning. And I don't know if it needed a lot of time or dollars to research that, but give us the update. As schools are now open for in-person education, what are we seeing in terms of students coming back to in-person learning in the Tucson Unified School District?
We're excited, Zach. We've seen a little bit of a flicker of hope. I was on the program earlier on in the fall when we were in the throes of the pandemic, and we just got hit with our 2,900 student loss right around the 40th day of the school year. And very, very dark days when I look back on that. And thankfully, since we opened our doors for in-person instruction district-wide on March 22nd, we're up 800 students. Well, we've seen 800 students return to the district above and beyond where we thought we would be. It's an unexpected increase that could hint at a larger enrollment recovery as we open for the fall 21-22 school year. So there's a little bit of hope for us, and we're very, very excited about this positive trend in enrollment.
Dr. Trujillo, you've been on the show, I think, at a monthly level throughout the pandemic and also before, and I hope will continue to be. There was a couple of buckets, if you will, of where some of those students were going. Some students we knew were going to explore either other public or private education options, and sadly, some were just dropping off the map altogether. They weren't engaging in an academic experience at all. As you've seen those students that you just mentioned return, do you have a sense of where they're returning from? Which one of those buckets they're coming back from?
You know, Zach, this is another reason I'm incredibly thankful. One of the buckets that these kids are coming back from are just simply from being out of school and not doing anything and not being enrolled anywhere. And I'm very, very thankful that somehow, some way, those students are starting to walk through our doors again. We've had several instances around the district where students that we have been struggling to get a hold of to engage in online school throughout the pandemic, throughout remote instruction, that weren't answering our calls and weren't available. We couldn't seem to find them. All of a sudden, we're showing up the first 2 weeks that we were open, and even still are walking through the doors and saying, where's my schedule? We are not really pressing too hard except to say, we love you, we miss you, we're glad that you're back. How can we help? Let's get you caught up. And I think as we further engage with these students, we're going to get into the conversations of what happened. Why couldn't we get you engaged a little bit earlier? The second big bucket that we are receiving students back from is charter schools. And I think what we're discovering is that this pandemic is a marathon and not a sprint. And the longer it goes, the deeper the bench that TUSD has in terms of infrastructure and resources, and the longer race TUSD is able to run, therefore outlasting a lot of our smaller charter schools that are starting to run thin on the resources, and it's starting to frustrate families. You know, case in point, we've received some kids back from charters that have complained about some of the charter schools not having enough laptops for everybody, or some of the charter schools not being able to do food service the way that we do it during those holiday breaks. So things like that are issues like that are indicative of an infrastructure depth problem that we don't necessarily have in TUSD. Now, whether that trend continues, you know, we're not going to count on luck. We're going to be very aggressive in our promotion and our marketing throughout the spring and the summer to make sure that we recover as many kids as possible so we get back on track with our enrollment.
Dr. Trujillo with us, the superintendent of Tucson Unified School District. A lot has happened since you were on the show last month. We've got a lot to run through. Here's one that just came in this week. There are at least one of the vaccine providers is saying that children can now get vaccines. And we just heard top of the hour news here on this program that students can go to CDO or go to pharmacies even today here in the Tucson region to get a vaccine. You have not required staff, you've encouraged, but not required staff to get the vaccine. What is TUSD's policy on youth students getting the vaccine going forward?
Well, right now, Zach, we're not bringing forward any recommendations administratively. Obviously, I don't speak for the TUSD governing board, but as its administrative designee, I can speak for our administration. We don't have any plans now or in the future to bring forward any policy that would mandate the vaccine. We're having a tough enough time with masks. So we have our hands full with masks, Zach. We're going to stay in that domain, you know, with masks for a little bit longer, which I'm sure we'll talk about next. But the vaccines, our job is to create the conditions, to create the messaging, to create the culture that's going to want to make kids go get the vaccine on a voluntary basis, similar to our employees. Tucson Unified is a very, very delicate organization that has struggled throughout its history to remain focused on the business of education. And a number of events and issues and challenges have politicized the district over the last 30 years. And I have to be very careful as superintendent not to introduce one more issue that could politicize the district. And right now, vaccines are a very, very hot topic that have the potential to be divisive and to be politically volatile. I wish it weren't so. I wish that the culture right now as a whole would treat vaccinations as a health issue. But we're not there. And whether or not we'll ever get there, I don't know. But I think mandating vaccines in the Tucson Unified School District would touch off such a political outcry on both sides of the fence that our governing board meetings, our valuable time and resources would almost be 100% dedicated to managing that kind of a policy. And I just think that we have way too many other big ticket items to be focused on.
We're with Dr. Gabe Trujillo this morning, Tucson Unified School District Superintendent. When we come back, we will pick back up again with the mask issue. We'll talk about the desegregation order and any teacher and staff cuts in TUSD. That on the other side of this first break of this hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser here on 1030 The Voice and Dr. Gabe Trujillo. We'll be right back after a short break. Don't go anywhere.
With real people. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. 1030 The Voice.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
Hey there. here. Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429. Equal housing opportunity.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is bringing back two special galleries, the Indigenous Arts Gallery and the Schmidt Gallery of Latin American Folk Art. See contemporary artworks brought to you by a committee of Indigenous community curators, exploring 21st century Indigenous peoples, cultural sovereignty, and practices. Examine how traditions from many regions of the Americas evolve and take on new meanings in a changing world. See both Thursday to Sunday weekly, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Reserve your ticket today at TucsonMuseumOfArt.org.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios. We continue this drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We have Dr. Gabe Trujillo on the line, the superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. Dr. Trujillo, a bunch of things I want to cover before we leave each other here at the bottom of the hour. I think we can do it. Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry insists that the county is not requiring or threatening or incentivizing districts to require masks. Instead, he said a couple weeks ago, ahead of the occurrence that happened in the Vail School District, in fact, that the county is leaving it up to the individual school districts to make a decision on whether parents have a choice or not with masks. Is that true? And what is the TUSD policy on kids and masks at this time?
QFD stance right now, Zach, is that masks are mandatory. We're not changing that for the remainder of the school year. There's about 3 weeks left in the school year. In the summer, our leadership team, we're going to gather with Pima County Health Department officials. We're going to take a very, very hard look at our mask policy. We're going to hear recommendations from Pima County Health Department and make a decision. This summer, it's going to be one of the first things that we do once we get past the Memorial Day weekend as to whether we pivot towards an optional mask policy in August. But for now, for the remaining 2 or 3 weeks of the school year, business as usual. We're requiring masks for all of our students, all of our guests, all of our parents, all of our visitors. I want to thank everybody for their patience and for their continued support of this policy, which hopefully, you know, my goal is again, my goal is a total return to normalcy. And I think that as our vaccination rates rise, not only amongst the workforce here in the Tucson Unified community, but even amongst our student body, which of course now starting today, the clock is ticking, then I think we have a responsibility to model the behavior of a fully vaccinated entity or person where we start to make those transitions of masks being optional, no masks outside at recess. Believe me, if you're a parent listening, I want to get you there, okay? Just hang in there with us. There's only a few weeks left in the school year. I do promise you we're going to be taking a hard look at this policy first thing right when school gets out.
Dr. Trujillo, a real quick follow-up to that, and then we'll move on here. What is the science that your staff is looking at around that mass decision-making? For example, this week, the CDC, you know, came out and said it's a 0.01% chance of spread outdoors. So on the outdoor side, we've known that kids are less likely to spread or get it. What are some of the data points that give rise to the concern that wearing masks, children wearing masks, kind of mitigates?
Well, right now we're focused on indoor. We are a little bit more liberal with our students out on recess for the reason that you just stated. Outdoor learning spaces, outdoor play is probably one of the safer parts of the school day for kids. The data and the science has not changed around indoor airflow, around areas where you cannot appropriately social distance, around indoor spaces where the bulk of the persons in the building have not received a vaccine. The fact that Pima County continues to struggle to get itself to a point of minimum spread of the virus. These are factors that right now very, very strongly influence our decision to keep masks in play, definitely inside in the classrooms and in our cafeterias. Now, again, as vaccination rates rise and the next couple of months are going to be very telling with the student body, that's really going to determine the direction that we go in August. Same with the county as a whole. As we look at that county dashboard, as we become more solidly into the yellow and hopefully into the green on several more indicators, I feel a lot more confident in pivoting towards a mask optional policy. So there's a lot to be looked at in the coming months. And I'm hopeful, I'm cautiously optimistic that we can open our doors in August. Hopefully with a mask optional policy.
We're talking with Dr. Gabe Trujillo this morning, superintendent of TUSD. Dr. Trujillo, the Daily Star reported, and I think it was like right after you and I chatted last month, we had discussed will enrollment, declining enrollment cause any staff or teacher cuts. A day after we chatted, I think the Daily Star came out and said that more than 60 teachers won't be returning to Tucson's largest school district, TUSD. Some board members came out after that and said, oh, there's some more nuance to that. Can you clarify that for us? Is enrollment declines causing any teacher cuts going into the fall, Dr. Trujillo?
Absolutely not, Zach. And unfortunately, the Arizona Daily Star, who I respect, we have a great relationship with them. They want a story, and they wanted the story of Southern Arizona's largest district laying teachers off. They wanted a story of the superintendent proudly celebrating the fact that we got through the pandemic with no reductions in force. And you wanted to catch me in something. And the facts of the matter are that the individuals that were being discussed, these are temporary employees with temporary teaching contracts. So the expiration of a teaching contract does not denote a cut. So if I have a teaching contract with TUSD for one semester, and after one semester, my assignment is over, that's not a cut. That's an expiration of a teaching contract. Unfortunately, the Arizona Daily Star has taken the stance that that's a cut and that that's a teacher that's been laid off. Temporary teachers do not have the tenure rights of continuing teachers. They don't have reduction in force rights in terms of recall. And their salaries are simply not included in the upcoming budget. So in order to be a cut, it should mean that we're eliminating an expenditure that's impacting the budget, and we simply are not. These are temporary probationary contracts that are a function of the administration every year, is to, if there's a need, roll them over to the next year. If not, simply let the temporary agreements expire. We've provided a clarifying statement to all major media outlets. I know KGUN did a follow-up story, and I appreciate that. And we just continue to disagree. We respectfully disagree with the Star, even after hearing our explanation and board members' explanation. They still consider this to be laying teachers off, even though they have not done a story on any other Southern Arizona district that does the exact same thing with temporary teacher contracts, only TUSD.
Dr. Trujillo, thanks for the opportunity to clarify that. We have a little under 2 minutes, but Dr. Trujillo, I wanted to take a moment and celebrate with you the decision to phase out of the desegregation case that happened since we were last on the air together. It's good news for Southern Arizona and for TUSD, in my mind.
No, absolutely. It's I can't describe to you the immense victory that it is for the Tucson Unified community. The validation that the federal court has said that this district is doing right by children of color, that this district is not a segregated district, that this district deserves to return to a state of local governance. And to the skeptical public that has always thrown rocks at us and has always looked at the district as this entity that discriminates against kids and needs a court to tell it how to operate, for us, it's a bit of vindication. It's a bit of vindication, and it's also a tremendous opportunity to relieve some of the tax burden on the local community and certainly on the homeowners of our district, which we're going to speak more about going forward as I appear more frequently on your show.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's multiple wins. Certainly, there has been a burden financially on this community. Obviously, we're also excited about the fact that courts say TUSD is doing all the right things by all of our children. That's the big thing. But certainly, the tax burden being relieved is also big in a district where a lot of administrative costs have been higher because of that. Exciting news. Dr. Trujillo, thanks for a bit of an abbreviated conversation. We'll do our regular longer one next time. But thanks for your flexibility and for coming on the show as you do. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, Zach. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Gabe Trujillo, Superintendent TUSD. Supervisor Steve Christie, Pima County Board of Supervisors, up next. We'll be right back.
A Bloomberg Money Minute and CBS News at the bottom of every hour. 10:30, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
If you are current or previous law enforcement, fire, paramedic, or military and are considering buying or selling real estate, then listen up. CNC Partners is dedicated to serving those who serve. When you buy or sell with their real estate team, they will give 10% of their commission back to you and your family at closing, as well as donate an additional 5% to the charity of your choice that serves first responders and or the military. If you're interested in this program, reach out directly at 520-406-0233. That's 406-0233. Why I Love Where I Live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
And we're back. Good morning to you. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studios for this drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I am your host, Zach Yenser. We just finished our monthly conversation with Dr. Gabe Trujillo, superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District. Covered a lot of ground in a shorter period of time. We're working around budget hearing season with our next guest, Supervisor Steve Christie, the 2021 claim to fame is you are the only serving Republican on either the county or the Tucson City Council as the largest municipality in the greater Tucson region. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. I just want to make an announcement, and for your information, the Biden administration has placed me on the Federal Endangered Species Act list. And as the only Republican, so yes, that is my my position right now.
That is the claim to fame. We have a lot to chat about today. Again, you're fresh off of a couple of days of budget hearings. I want to talk water rates, early childhood education, and then yes, the largest budget in Pima County history being proposed for passage by the Board of Supervisors.
You picked a very dainty agenda this morning.
Oh, we're going to get right into it, and we'll start with the easy stuff though. We'll slide into it, Supervisor Christie. Water rates. The city of Tucson began hosting. I think the first was last evening or the evening before. Mm-hmm. There's going to be two community-wide hearings, not just for city of Tucson residents, but for unincorporated as well. Around eight options that the city of Tucson, the mayor and council, are going to consider. Eight options for water rate increases for residents in unincorporated Pima County. I know we're fresh off that hearing, but as you're watching this play out, Supervisor Christie, what do we need to know about this?
Well, first of all, it's a huge lightning rod for those who live in unincorporated Pima County, which makes up most of my district. And obviously, they're very upset about it. They think it's unfair and unjust, and it is. They're concerned why out of the blue, all of a sudden, is this such a necessity for the city of Tucson to be mandating these kinds of increases. And as they have initially unfolded, the reasoning or the rationale behind it seems to change with each week. Initially, when it came out, there were city council members, there were members of the Tucson City Water Advisory Board, and there was a statement made by a colleague of mine who on the board of supervisors who actually supports these increases. And they were all kind of under three different levels, but all combined. The first and foremost was that if the unincorporated residents did not want to pay the increase in the water rates that City of Tucson provides them, which has been in existence since the late 70s, they're welcome to be annexed by the City of Tucson. So it's kind of a carrot and a stick thing, with mostly the stick showing that if you don't like the water rates, well, incorporate either in the City of Tucson or in another incorporated jurisdiction. Well, a lot of people have moved to the unincorporated areas for a number of reasons, and they have no desire to be in an incorporated jurisdiction, and they view this as unfair. The second issue, and it was stated in an op-ed in the Arizona Daily Star several weeks ago by a member of the Tucson City, the City of Tucson Water Advisory Council, and he said that folks who live in unincorporated, and I'm paraphrasing, folks who live in unincorporated Pima County generally are of a wealthier position economically. And therefore, what could occur is a situation where there's a surplus created by the increase in the rates being paid by those residents in unincorporated Pima County. And that surplus can go to subsidize those residents in the city of Tucson who are less incomed and have a more economically challenged situation. So it's another word, kind of stealing from the rich and paying for the paying it to the poor. And of course, that's an unfair situation as well. And then the third thing was stated by one of my colleagues on the Board of Supervisors, and what she said was that she supports the water rates increase for a particular reason, and that is to stop development and growth in Pima County. So all of these rationales, and now, of course, they've changed to, well, it costs more money for the water to be serviced to the people in unincorporated Pima County. And people in unincorporated Pima County tend to use water more than the people in the city of Tucson. So there's a lot of, I think, scrambling to justify something that really is insidious and nefarious and a power grab and borderline blackmail, if you ask me. And I got to tell you that my constituents are very upset about it. They're organizing. They're having meetings, town halls. As a matter of fact, there's one tonight by our Southeast Regional Council, which my office founded several years ago with Lucretia Free, who is our representative out there. And our folks are hot, and they're not going to take this lightly. And City of Tucson's going to get an earful. And there is going to be some kind of a collaboration within our community in District 4 to figure out how we can fight this and stop this from happening.
Supervisor Steve Christie on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. I wasn't able to listen to the entire span of the morning show on this station, Wake Up Tucson. But when I did tune in, I tuned in a couple different times. There was a caller who called in from Vail, who said that, you know what, this is pushing me to want to incorporate. Mm-hmm. And the morning host said you should incorporate yesterday. So part one, doesn't that for the City of Tucson go mission accomplished? That it did what we thought it was going to do. Number two, your predecessors have, according to some, been a little bit less excited about encouraging incorporation. Would you, as a supervisor representing Pima County, would you be open if neighbors came to you and said, in Vail, for instance, we want to incorporate, would you support that? It's a two-part question. I apologize, but
absolutely. If the will of the community is to incorporate, I will do everything I can to support them. All I do ask is that everybody be educated on the issue and to understand the pros and cons, the expenses and the benefits, and of course, you know, you have a great deal of infrastructure that then becomes compelled to be maintained by the incorporated community, and we need to look at all those numbers. But if I have to say, the first question, I had a meeting with Mayor Rothschild just after I was first elected in 2017, and we went to lunch, and his reason for taking me to lunch, well, he didn't take me to lunch, we went Dutch, was that his first question was, do you think you can help me get Vail annexed into the city of Tucson? So do they really want incorporation just for the sake of incorporation, or does the city of Tucson really want to annex the Vail community? So if they want to push towards being incorporated, they're doing the right thing, obviously, but they're certainly not going to have any opportunity to annex Vail. Vail will not stand for that.
That's an important distinction, Supervisor Christie. Those two things are different for sure. And I'm always interested, and this is just an editorial side note, I'm interested by some of the communities I watch across the country who are actually de-annexing because they realize over time, wait a second, you have to have the right balance of residents and services and retail and sales tax bearing enterprises to make the annexation of things that now you have to provide roads for, police for, water for, fire for, sewer for. Nobody thinks about the underlying infrastructure costs over time. They think about the top line sales tax revenue, but not the costs underneath. So I'm always interested
by this conversation. Our District 4 office has basically outlined those same issues that are facing in corporation, and we have offered to be kind of a central focus or a clearinghouse of information and to provide venues to the Vail and Corona de Tucson communities to have this community-wide discussion because it needs to be addressed. But certainly I think this water issue has ignited that feeling of incorporation, and if that's what the community wants, I will support what the community wants.
Supervisor Steve Christie, you heard it directly. Again, that is, according to some, a shift from your predecessors on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. So I think it's an important note to make. Tom, let's go to our first break of this conversation, last break of the hour, a little bit early to give us time on the other side to talk about early childhood education. But maybe more importantly, I want to get through this. The largest budget being proposed in Pima County history. I want to get Supervisor Steve Christie's thoughts on it. The only Republican on the board, the only Republican between that board and the Tucson Mayor and Council as two large
11
governing,
to 1.
11 to 1, two large governing municipalities. We'll be right back.
Trusted local news and talk all morning on 1030 The Voice.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID, 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens football facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is bringing back two special galleries, the Indigenous Arts Gallery and the Schmidt Gallery of Latin American Folk Art. See contemporary artworks brought to you by a committee of Indigenous community curators, exploring 21st century Indigenous peoples, cultural sovereignty, and practices. Examine how traditions from many regions of the Americas evolve and take on new meanings in a changing world. See both Thursday to Sunday weekly, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Reserve your ticket is today at TucsonMuseumOfArt.org.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studios. Wrapping up this drive time hour of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We're continuing our conversation this morning with Supervisor Steve Christie. Supervisor, the largest budget in Pima County history, $2.1 billion, is on the table for next fiscal year. The proposal is nearly 50% more than the current fiscal year's adopted budget. Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry says that that increase is mostly covered by federal grants for COVID-19 relief and not taxpayer dollars. Is he correct? And what are your thoughts on this $2.1 billion budget?
Well, to a large degree, he's correct. And the most significant issues are that the COVID fundings, ARP and other sources of revenue from the Biden administration are integrated into the budget process. So I believe what he's trying to convey here is that he has a better sense of how the monies from the federal government that come into Pima County are going to be dispersed, and consequently, because of that disbursement, they have to be included in the budget as income, and also the disbursement itself is an expense, and this is all related to raising the budget from $1.4 billion up to $2.1 billion virtually overnight. Quite an increase, but a lot of it is COVID funds from the federal government. There's a number of issues that budget calls for and covers. One is a raise in minimum wage for all of the county employees. Also, there's a huge pay down of retirement funds, $300 million worth, a one-time expense for public safety workers and corrections officers to pay down their pension. What had happened was, and we see this across the nation with government or federal employees, and local government employees, is that they, as they get seniority, their time to opt to be employed is made more available to them and increases, and as does their pay plan. So when they're really close to retirement, they're utilizing the highest pay scale that they could possibly obtain with the seniority as the factor for their retirement. So apparently that's being reined in. At least we were told by the county administrator that that's a one-time deal. But it sure it was not a above-board way of doing things, and it was recognized as such. And as I say, it's been reined in. But it still was $300 million. And, of course, we've got miraculously we found $10 million for early childhood education for low-income families, and so I have problems with that minimum wage, the pay down, and particularly the $10 million for early childhood education. Like every budget, there's good and bad in it. And I think the good that I'm looking forward to is that we have not only through the pay-as-you-go program and road repair, we've allocated through the use of certificates of participation, which are very low interest rate bonds that that are paid back at a very quick rate. The interest rate on these bonds is, you know, between 1% and 2%, and the payback period is anywhere from 5 to 15 years. So if you're going to borrow money for capital improvement projects, this is the time to do it, and I support it. So there's an additional or accumulated $84 million for road repair in unincorporated Pima County, and that includes when you go out to your mail, the road that the mailbox is sitting on right in front of your house, neighborhood roads, arterials as well. So I'm very excited about that. Plus, there's another just under $60 million for additional road projects, some widenings of some major arterials, bridges and overpasses that really need it. And that's a real shot in the arm for one of what I believe is still the number one issue in Pima County, and that is fixing our roads. And again, there's another request by the sheriff that's included in this, another $1.1 million for body cameras. So I know that's a little bit more of a controversial issue, but the sheriff is requesting it. And based on that, I would support that. So as in every budget, it's a mixed bag. There's good things that I can support, but there's a number of things that I do object to.
If we can maybe talk about early childhood, one last budget item that I didn't hear you mention was the decrease of property tax rates by about 12 cents per $100 of assessed value. The property taxes, as I understand, had increased by about 6% over the last year. What do you think about the increase, now the decrease? Are you happy with that adjustment?
Absolutely. Anything that obviously can allow the county to lower its rate on the primary property tax is a good thing. We did that significantly in the last budget. It appears that there's going to be some room for that as well. However, you know, at the end of the day, we have to urge everybody to look at their tax bill statement, because there's a number of taxing entities other than just your primary property tax. There's the secondary tax. There's the taxing districts, the library, the flood control district, the pay down of bonds from past utilization of bonds. So those all have to be taken into consideration. And some folks' homes, even though there seems to be a very significant rising of valuations in Pima County of home values, some may and some may not. So it's important that people are able to parse what that tax bill statement is to really see what the only thing the county can control, and that is the primary property tax.
We're with Supervisor Steve Christie this morning.
As well as the other taxing districts,
yes.
I mentioned.
Pima County Board of Supervisors representing District 4, correct? Pima County Board of Supervisors. We've got about 3.5-4 minutes, so we do have time. There was a vote to basically fund high-quality or early child care and education, pre-K, for 1,000 young people in Pima County under a certain poverty level. That was passed at the last Pima County Board of Supervisors meeting. Your thoughts on that in follow-up?
Well, it's important to note that the last Board of Supervisors that I did serve on voted against this. One of the primary reasons is this is not a function of Pima County. We're not in the pre-K business. That is a direct responsibility of the state. And the state should be funding this if this is in fact something that is of such a necessity. The second thing is there are probably thousands of folks that are paying out of their own pockets pre-K services for their families. And now not only are they going to be paying out of their own pockets For their own families, they're going to be paying out of their own pockets for other families. And I think that that's an inequitable situation. A third reason is this is, a very expensive experiment. We don't know how this is going to pan out, how it's going to be operated by, who's going to be hired. Can people be hired to put this program through? What are the metrics and data that they're going to compile to say, yes, it's a success? And of course, it will be described as a success, as all these programs are. But there's really going to be, a very interesting way to try to discern whether or not this is indeed a helpful expense, a very large expense. And $10 million, they were talking some years ago on the previous board I served on, you know, millions and millions of dollars are needed to make a difference in this thing. And $10 million is kind of, I would say, just throwing money at something without realizing if it's going to be a good program or a bad program. And again, I didn't support it this term, and I didn't support it last term.
Supervisor Steve Christie, Pima County Board of Supervisors, thanks as always for, I think we have you on just about once a month to update on everything going on. And that list is getting longer of the things that we have to update on, whether it's budget, early childhood education, or what may have you. Thank you for your service. Thanks for being here, and always look forward to it.
Great. Thank you for having me. It's great to be in the studio with you.
Yes. Thank you, Supervisor. That does it for our show today. When we come back, we're going to wrap up with State Senate President Karen Fan tomorrow. On Friday, we're going to talk audit. We're going to talk in-state tuition for Dreamers. We're going to talk election reform. It's going to be a busy sit-down conversation with State Senate President Karen Fan. That's how we'll close out the show this week. Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Bill Buckmaster at noon. As always, lots of live local talk still coming your way here on 1030 The Voice, where we're dedicated to being your one-stop shop for all the local, state, and national news that you need to stay on top of the issues that you care about. Thanks for listening here on Tipping Point. We'll talk to you soon. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.